Today's episode is sponsored by American Creative Consulting. If you need a fresh look for your business or side hustle, contact ACC for pricing. Specializing in high-quality, low-cost websites and design, their team of designers will be exactly what you need to succeed in 2020. Visit designedbyacc.com to get started now.
Thanks for joining us this week on Behind the Pink Ribbon. Help us to share the word by sharing this podcast with a friend or family member. On this episode, I had the pleasure of talking with Danny Grass from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Danny is a two-time cancer survivor. She was diagnosed in 2005 with stage 4 colon cancer at the age of 21. She was diagnosed a second time with breast cancer in 2016 at the age of 31. She candidly shares her experience with both cancers. Take a listen in. Welcome to Behind the Pink Ribbon, where we share stories, information, and other content related to breast cancer. My name is Melissa Adams. I am a 12-year genetic breast cancer survivor. I've learned so much through my own journey with breast cancer. I have met some amazing people along the way, many that have become lifelong friends. I have experienced the emotional roller coaster of a breast cancer diagnosis, heartache, anger, frustration, loneliness, and even gratitude. Through this podcast, we will speak to breast cancer survivors, supporters, and healthcare professionals to gain insight and understanding behind the pink ribbon. I'm here with Danny today, and Danny is a two-time cancer survivor. She was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 21 in 2005, that was stage 4. And then in 2016, at the age of 31, Danny was also diagnosed with breast cancer that was invasive ductal carcinoma, T2, and then N1. So, Danny, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to hearing your story, and I'm sure that all of our listeners are as well. So let's talk a little bit. First of all, I mean, you were diagnosed with colon cancer in 2005 at the age of 21. I can't even begin to fathom, quite honestly, getting that diagnosis.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Yeah, and especially at stage 4, I would imagine that you, I mean, the amount of treatment and surgeries and, you know, chemo, radiation, all of those things, whatever is involved in that, I mean, I'm certainly not well-versed in that particular type of cancer, but I would guess that it's very consuming.
It really was, considering I was still in college at the time. So I was diagnosed in December, just shortly after my semester had finished for the quarter. And having to go back to school and pack up my things for the spring semester, knowing that I had this journey ahead of me and still trying to go to college to complete my degree was a very daunting task. But
so that spring semester would have been your last semester?
Actually, I was on the 5-year plan, so okay. No.
It's okay.
I ended up graduating the following December.
Okay. So did you take online classes then? Is that what you did?
No, I was fortunate enough that my father worked in the same town where I was going to college. So he was able to drive me back and forth to class from home so that I could have my chemo and then also attend class.
Oh my gosh. So you're going through all of this cancer treatment and still going through classes.
Yes.
Wow.
We decided that as a family, because cancer doesn't just affect the individual that's going through the treatment, it affects everyone, that yes. The best course of action, because I was so young, was to keep my life as normal as possible.
Yeah.
And one way to do that was still going to college, still going out and hanging out with my friends, going out dancing on Friday nights because, you know, that's what you do when you're 21. You go out and you party on the weekends. And I called my doctor while I was going through chemo and I said, look, I'm 21. I have to keep my life normal. Normal 21-year-olds go out on the weekend and I just need to know how many drinks can I have? And they said, well, we don't advise it. And I said, that's not what I asked. I asked, how many can I have? And they gave me a number and that's what I stuck to throughout my treatments. I only had one treatment that was pushed back because my numbers were too low during that treatment set. So after everything that I was doing, going to class, still being able to go out and be a normal 21-year-old, I still ended up finishing chemo about a week behind what they had anticipated.
That's not horrible.
No, which is really, really good.
Yeah, really. So in terms of that cancer, did you have surgeries? You had the chemo. Do they do radiation? Was there medication?
That's a great question. So the chemo was called 5-FU and not the swear word.
Although it'd be great if it would, if it were right? called that.
Exactly. but we all know, having been through any type of cancer, you feel that way anyway.
Yeah.
But no, there was no radiation. Okay. I did have, surgery. I had a colon resection.
Okay.
I had 2.5 feet of my colon removed, because my colon was not the normal length. It was actually longer than it should have been. And they feel that attributed in some way to the cancer that I did have because it wrapped around my spleen twice.
Oh, wow.
And so I couldn't expel what I should have been able to in a timely fashion. And it kind of unfortunately sat in there.
Got it.
So yes, I had 2.5 feet of my colon removed. It was a 6-hour surgery. I was in the hospital for a while after that. But no radiation, no treatments after, nothing.
Okay. So you kind of get through that journey. And mm-hmm. When was kind of your final treatment for that?
That would have been September 2006.
Okay. And then fast forward, we're now in 2016. And mm-hmm. what happened then? I mean, did you have a lump? I mean, you were 31, so you weren't going in for, I'm assuming you probably weren't going in for mammograms because it wouldn't be recommended. So were you doing Correct. A self-breast exam? Were you going in just to see your gynecologist? How did that all come about for you?
I actually had been bowling and apparently was throwing the ball too hard. and my arm was very sore and up under my underarm and like a little, you know, the top portion of my chest where your arm meets the chest wall. And I was just kind of rubbing it, you know, trying to get the kink out. I figured I just did something to it. And that's when I noticed that there was a lump.
Okay. So it was more up towards like your armpit.
Yes.
Area. Okay.
And I called the gynecologist right away and I said, I don't know what to do. I'm concerned. And he said, yep, so are we. We'll see you in 5 minutes.
Okay. So I'm assuming because you have a previous history of cancer that they were like, oh, let's not play. Let's not wait. We're not concerned that this might just be related to her menstrual cycle or anything like that. Like, let's get her in and let's do this.
Right. He originally thought it was a cyst, and tried to aspirate the cyst in the office and couldn't.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
Oh.
I can't. I just, did he have a local anesthetic? Like what? No. What was happening there?
No, it was very painful.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I had to go back to work. So they did send me for a breast MRI and a ultrasound that week.
Okay. So he tried to take it out and was like, I can't get this out. So he was trying to do it with, and I'm kind of cringing here and my stomach is turning a little bit. But I want to kind of get an understanding. He was taking what it sounds like maybe a needle and trying to pull it out.
Yes, because he thought it was a cyst.
Right.
So he thought it was fluid filled and he would be able to drain it and diminish the size of the lump at that point.
Okay.
And wow. when he found he couldn't, that's when he said, we need more information.
Okay. So then you went for the MRI and the biopsy?
Yes. So the MRI and the, they did an ultrasound and then they did a guided, ultrasound guided biopsy.
Okay.
Which was also not very pleasant.
Yeah. No, not at all. The biopsy is not pleasant at all. Even though it's not that bad. No, it's bad.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, the lymph, they found two lymph nodes that were also enlarged. So not only did I have a biopsy in the tumor in the breast, but I also had one under my arm.
Oh, so they did it at the same time right there?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I've never have heard of that they would do the biopsy right there at the same time with the lymph nodes.
Yep, they did everything right then and there.
Okay. And so, I mean, at this point, you know, you've kind of been, you know, fast-tracked through this.
Absolutely.
I would imagine that you're probably feeling pretty nervous, you know, that it is cancer. And so what were you kind of thinking? I mean, you had already gone through so much with a colon cancer and now you're, you know, sitting there facing the potential of breast cancer. What was going through your mind?
The radiologist that was there that did the guided biopsy, she actually told us that it wasn't good while we were standing there in the office. And we got the call a couple hours later.
And when you say we, who was with you?
My mom.
Your mom. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my husband was there earlier in the day. And then when they said, now we really think that it is based on what it looks like, that it is cancer. Someone will look at it, but it's very likely that it already is cancer. So my mom called my husband back and said, you're not going to work today. You need to come back. We need to all be together and work through this, talk through this, and find out what we need to do next.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, you know, again, it's hard enough when you go through it one time. It's hard, again, being 21, going through it, and then a second time and a different cancer. And so much time has gone past between and thinking, you know, I'm good. You know, I mean, did you think that? I mean, did you have those feelings of like were you kind of blindsided by this or?
Yes.
Did they kind of, okay. Okay. I mean,
So the November before I had gone and seen my original colon oncologist. And at that point I was already post my diagnosis a full 10 years.
Yeah.
And after having 10 years of clean scans and, sorry, I'm getting choked up.
That's okay.
That's he said that I was cancer free. And 6 months later, I'm sitting back in another oncology office being told I have cancer again.
Yeah, I can't.
It was
hard, to say the least.
It was like being slapped in the face.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can't begin to imagine. And, you know, I feel for you. I'm, you know, sometimes I'm at a loss for words when things like this happen, and that would be the case right now. I feel for you. And I think that given your experience, that it is so important to share your story, because I think it's important to share everybody's story, but, you know, stories like this, where that is the case, where 10 years out, you're told that you're cancer-free, and then the next thing you know, around the corner comes another diagnosis or even a different diagnosis.
Right. And the doctors at the oncology office that I went to this time were so amazing. UPMC McGee has a cancer clinic that they do now. Yes. It's something new that one of the oncology surgeons actually put together, where you come in, you're there for 8 hours, you meet your surgeon, your oncologist, your radiologist if needed, a geneticist, any female care that you would need, as far as egg preservation or anything like that. You basically meet the whole group of everybody that's going to be looking at your file as you move through the cancer process. And
that is fantastic.
It's amazing.
I just am like thinking, oh my gosh, how helpful that would have been, you know, at the time that right. I was diagnosed. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm sure it's overwhelming.
But, to say the least. Yes.
Yeah. But to have that knowledge, that you have this team that is going to communicate and work together, and just being able to get that information at one time. I mean, that's awesome. Is that part of Glimmer of Hope? Is that part of their program?
I'm not sure. I would have to double check on that.
Okay. I know that Glimmer of Hope, which has previously been on our podcast, they have worked with the local hospitals to create kind of this integrated, these integrated treatment clinics where, you know, women under the age of 40 would have exposure to those kind of things. So I'm not sure if that's the same thing or if it's something different, but that's amazing.
Yeah, it actually might be something different. I was actually interviewed by one of our local news stations.
Okay.
While I was going through chemo, to specifically talk about this new program that McGee was offering. Wonderful. And the breast surgeon that I worked with, the oncology breast surgeon that I worked with, was head of this program. And they had asked me if I wanted to do that. And I said, absolutely. Okay. And that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I'll have to be able to share that information.
I'm sure I can find it. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
So you talked about meeting with all of these people. And again, I'm sure it was very, very overwhelming. I'm hoping you had somebody with you, first of all.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Never go anywhere without a pen and paper or another person to listen in. Yes. Just because... even though when you first start out, you come to find that chemo brain is such a thing later on through all of this, but you're very overwhelmed, and it's always helpful to have an extra set of ears. In my case, I brought three sets.
That's fine.
With me.
I think that's great because we all hear different things.
Exactly. And even now, preparing for your podcast, I was discussing this with my mom and my husband, and she said they were both like, yeah, we all heard, you know, bits and pieces and different things throughout. And we had to write down all the questions again and go through step by step and write down all the answers so that we were all on the same page, because we heard four different sets of information.
Right.
All closely related, but still four different things.
It's kind of like putting a puzzle together where, you know, somebody's got this bit of information, somebody over here has this, and, you know, now let's kind of put all the puzzle together. So, did you go through the genetic testing first of all, and then did you find out that you have a genetic mutation?
I did. The lady that did all the genetic information, she was great to work with. I think I called them like four or five times just to make sure that I understood the results. And yes, I am BRCA1 positive. Okay. Along with my aunt, my sister, and two of my cousins.
Okay. And so is this on the paternal side or the maternal side of your family?
It is on the paternal side.
And is your dad still alive?
Yes.
And was he tested for it?
He was not. I believe the reasoning they did not test him was because there was such a large likelihood that he was a carrier of it because it's his sister and his two daughters, and two nieces, that ended up with it.
Okay. So, but even still for him, that would kind of change some wellness checkups in terms of having that genetic mutation.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we always remind him that he has to do that, but yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, go ahead.
Because of the genetic mutation and finding out that information, and this is probably where you were going to go, and I took the words out of your mouth, I did end up having a double mastectomy and reconstruction.
Okay.
Because we've been through cancer once, and then finding out you have cancer twice is very, very difficult. And I couldn't imagine at this point having to do that again. And if there was something that I could do to prevent another cancer diagnosis, I was going to do it.
Absolutely.
They said with the BRCA mutation, I'm sure they mentioned that to you, that the likelihood of you having a recurrence is huge. I think they said 2% increased exponentially each year until you have cancer again.
Right.
And I wasn't willing to play those odds.
Absolutely. No. And I am 110% right there with you.
Yeah.
So have you, at this point, just because, you know, with the BRCA mutation, either one, there is always that risk of also developing ovarian cancer. So have you already gone through like the hysterectomy and oophorectomy, or is that something that's kind of out there and you're waiting? Where are you with that?
We're waiting.
Okay.
In talking with my oncologist, she said no later than when I'm 40.
Right.
So I still have a few years.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I did go through and have my eggs frozen before the chemo process started. So I did not have the opportunity to utilize those yet and don't currently have children. So I would like to be able to do that before I have to go through that too.
Right. Yeah. And I hear the emotion in your voice and, you know, I can share the same sentiment. You know, it's very often that they do pretty quickly ask you to start considering the oophorectomy and the hysterectomy. And I, like you, was not ready. You know, I wasn't quite sure if children were in my future or not. And, you know, so I waited, and that's okay. You know, you just, you have to make some pretty hefty decisions for yourself and for your family. And, you know, it's gotta be what's right for you. So,
absolutely. I'm a very big proponent, of you have to know the information. Knowledge is power. And the only way for you to make a decision that will help you through the rest of your life is to have that knowledge. And you have to move forward knowing that you've made the right decisions for you and your family moving forward.
Right.
So I'm 100% on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for you, you know, again, with being a two-time survivor, what does that mean to you? Like, what does, when somebody, you know, says the word survivor, what does that mean for you, for Danny?
That means I've been through a whole lot, and I've made it out the other side. And if cancer is the worst thing that someone can go through, and I've been there twice and I've made it out the other side, then I can get through anything.
Yeah. You are just, I mean, amazing to have that positivity from this experience is nothing short of amazing, and powerful and hopeful for other people.
There were days that I wasn't.
And I but think everybody is that way for sure. I mean, you have to have those days. I feel like you have to have those days just to remind ourselves that we're real and that we have feelings and emotions and, you know, all of those different things. So yeah, it's, you know, it's not always rainbows and flowers and unicorns every single day. but you know.
Even though we would love it to be.
Absolutely. So kind of thinking about it, I mean, you obviously, you have the support of your parents and, you know, it sounds like your family around you and, you know, not again, not just once, but twice. And, you know, the second time having your husband around, was he there as part of the first diagnosis? Was he, I mean, is this somebody that you kind of met during college or, you know, was he any part of that?
Actually, he was.
Oh, wow.
We've been married for 8 years this year.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 15.
Okay.
So he was with me through the first chemo, the diagnosis of cancer, the chemotherapy, the whole nine yards. And I expected from him nothing less the second time. And he did not disappoint. He's an amazing, amazing person. And I'm so thankful to have him in my life.
Yeah. He sounds like an amazing person. He sounds,
he definitely
I mean,
is.
I have to say that there, not everybody can deal with that. And, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes when we sit there and we're the people that are the survivors and we're thinking, well, I have to handle it, right? But you know, I have to deal with it. But there truly are some people that they cannot. And you know, I love that you have this person in your life who clearly has supported you through both of these diagnoses, and continues to do so. You know, I think that's
absolutely,
yeah, that's fantastic. So what are,
he's my rock.
Yeah, he sounds like it. Definitely keep him around. So other than your family, other than your family and your husband, what are other sources of support that you've had that have been really helpful for you?
Well, after chemo and surgery and everything, I was introduced to Steel City Dragons and Pink Steel.
Yeah.
Our breast cancer survivor Dragon Boat team here in Pittsburgh. And they are a group of amazing women and strong, and not just physically, but emotionally and mentally strong women. And I could not have asked for a better support and team to be a part of after this, because we all know that even though you've been through chemo, you've done your surgeries, and you're not seeing your doctors every week or every other week, you're still, you still need that support after all is said and done.
Yes.
And to have groups like that are amazing, because we still need that support years into the future. And I'm so blessed to have them in my life.
Yeah. And I can, so unfortunately, we did not have the pleasure of paddling together with Pink Steel. I left in 2015, I moved to Arizona. And so I did not have that pleasure to paddle with you, but I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of those women and the support that you get as, you know, part of that team. So
one day we will get to paddle together, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. Let's make it a plan.
Okay.
For sure. Well, I want to say thank you so much for being willing to come on here and share your story. I know that it certainly wasn't easy, and I know that there were certainly moments where emotions were running high, and I appreciate your vulnerability.
You really have to be able to be yourself with those around you who've also been through what you've been through, because that's the only way that we can be a community and help each other through, is to let other people know that it's okay to cry. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be mad and sad.
Yes.
And really, really happy.
Yes.
And all the emotions in between.
Right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And one last thing before we go, I do want to give a shout out to Debbie Moon, who happens to be a mutual paddling partner.
She's amazing.
Yes, I love that woman. So I do want to give a shout out to her for sending me a message and saying, I feel like I have somebody that really needs to tell their story on your podcast. So, you know, big shout out to her. And again, thank you. Thank you so, so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Thank you. And if I can help in any way, please let me know.
Okay. Will do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you or anyone you know would be interested in sharing your story, please send an email to podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com.
Thinking about advertising on this podcast? Our ads not only create awareness for your brand, but also contribute to the continued growth and support of this show. Email us today and be on our next episode. Email podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com for more information. You've been listening to Behind the Pink Ribbon, produced by American Creative Consulting. mixed and mastered at Riverview Podcasting Studios. For more information, please visit designbyacc.com.